Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another episode of Global from Asia. We're up to double digits now, episode 10, so thank you, everyone, for being part of this new series. We're in the first part of a three-part special series. If you remember back in episode 5 with Charles Ng at InvestHK, they mentioned the Start Me Up Hong Kong Venture Forum, and it's a whole week of events. And just yesterday, we had a special day of different VCs and investors in the town from all over the world, and Global from Asia was able to get some one-on-one time with them. What I've noticed in all these recordings is it's very rare or difficult to get any private, quiet space, but I believe these are pretty good quality recordings. I know quality of sound has been my biggest feedback, but it's getting better, and these are definitely amazing speakers and experts to listen to. Our first of this three-part series is Doug Richard. He has sold his company successfully in the U.S. He's been an investor for many years, and his newest venture is School for Startups, which he'll explain in the series.
Take out your pen and notebook, gentlemen.
Here we have a visitor, Douglas Richard, or Doug, as you go by, visiting in Hong Kong just off the plane. So we're really lucky to get him here and share his story. So thank you for being here, Doug.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Great. I read your bio before the episode, and Dragon's Den was, you were on one of the earlier episodes. And do you want to introduce yourself and your background to the listeners?
Sure. So for many years, I was a legitimate entrepreneur, starting companies and growing them in Southern California, mostly in film and TV software. In 1996, I sold my company to a very large U.S. public company and found through a variety of odd circumstances running the company that had taken me over. So I ran a public company for 4 years. And then because I had the good fortune to marry a European, she decided that we would be moving to Europe with our young children. So I moved to London in 2000 and then began as an investor, first as an angel investor, and then as an institutional investor in tech companies. And then I was discovered by the BBC and everything changed.
Yeah.
So I was on Dragon's Den for 2 seasons. This changed my profile considerably from nobody knowing me to all too many people knowing me. I started a mobile software company and a research house after that, and then 5 years ago began a social enterprise called the School for Startups, which is where you get me today.
Yes, you'll be speaking tomorrow at the Start Me Up Venture Forum, so we're looking forward to that. So I think there's a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs focused in Asia, but, I mean, what's your experience with Asia? Or, I mean, I know you're in the UK and Southern California, but what do you think of the trends now in Asia?
Well, I mean, yes, I've done business in Asia for my whole life because I ran global software companies. Thus, Asia's always been an important market. What's changed, obviously, in the last, especially 5 years in particular, is the growing ability of companies all over the world to engage in Asia in a way that we couldn't before. Mm-hmm. And, of course, with the balance of wealth shifting towards Asia, anybody who seeks to reach to high-net-worth individuals has got to pay first attention to Asia, then laterally to Europe and the U.S., because now that shift has finally happened. With an increasingly connected economies, it will become difficult not to pay first and foremost attention here. One of the reasons I'm here is because I think there's great opportunity for the work we do, for School for Startups, to offer programs in Asia to emerging entrepreneurs.
Okay, great. So I'm American myself, and I've been in Asia for about 6 years, and I definitely feel that there's more trends coming to Hong Kong and other parts of Asia. You have a book you wrote about, you know, how to start a creative business. And actually, one thing I've noticed, my personal feeling is creativity from East and West. But maybe you can just speak about your book.
So my first book, which I wrote last year, is in fact entitled How to Start a Creative Business. That's not a metaphorical title. That's a literal title, in that I was focusing the book on those people in creative industries. Though I use the term broadly, it's still an explicit term. It's still for people starting fashion, media, radio, TV, film, handbags, jewelry, anything that's a creative-centric activity rather than, say, a technical or scientific activity. They're very different types of businesses, and they're inevitably structured differently. And one of the things I've noticed is that the creative industries get short shrift globally. So they get paid huge amounts of attention. Everyone applauds them, but nobody actually helps them. And so with that in mind, I thought my first book should be slanted towards those who are getting the least recognition. So if you're intending to start a creative business, that book was written for you.
Okay, great. And so your School for Startups is your main focus these days. Maybe first, before we get into detail, can you maybe give a brief overview?
So I started School for Startups, as I say, 5.5 years ago. And it does what it says on the tin. It's intended to help people start their own businesses, and we think of ourselves as educators, first and foremost. Now, how that rolls out is we either do very, very broad programs, where they're open tent, anybody can come, we run short-form classes and boot camps, or we do very deep, intensive, year-long programs, where we actually, much like an accelerator, take a nascent entrepreneur under our wings and then help them across the whole year with huge different types of support. We also run a funding arm, a social funding arm. So we do what are known as social lending or microfinance, where people who are starting a business almost inevitably need a small amount of capital to get started, and thus we loan to them on a social basis, i.e. a non-commercial basis. And this year, we've just run the program for a year now, we've lent approximately £10 million in the first year at about £10,000 per loan. On average next year, we're estimating that we'll lend probably £30 million, so in dollars would set about $45 million. Equally small amounts, though. So these are really intended for people at seed stage. And between the education and the social loan, we then can help thousands and thousands of people get their businesses off the ground.
Is this a school online or is it brick and mortar?
This is a physical series of entities. We believe in live teaching. And thus, even though we have online communities and online forums and online support, like anybody in the 21st century, the face-to-face teaching, from our point of view, is rather critical in helping people internalize entrepreneurial skills. Thus, we run our programs currently largely in the UK, though we have had some very large international programs in sub-Saharan Africa and Eastern Europe. Part of our next big question is, because we quite dominate the UK scene now, is where do we then set up a new hub of operations? And one of the discussions we're having is Hong Kong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely happy to hear that that's on your radar, and Hong Kong has definitely gotten more attention lately, and we're also in InvestHK's office doing this recording, so they're doing great things, too, for the Hong Kong community. Is there any, maybe a thought process of why Hong Kong, or what you're
sure.
seeing?
I mean, from our point of view, we have to make a choice, because we can only really pick one other place next, and then invest time and effort into growing it. And thus, we're asking, essentially, where's the biggest opportunity? On our radar is Latin America and Hong Kong, but Latin America and Asia to be more broad. They both have compelling advantages. They're both very fast-growing areas of the world where entrepreneurship is becoming more recognized. To the advantage of Asia is the sheer economic growth. I mean, it's gangbusters over here compared to almost anywhere in the world. As for where in Asia, well, then it comes down to the classic questions of Singapore, Shanghai, Hong Kong. I mean, these are the places people look at as hubs, and thus our question is the same. Hong Kong has advantages. It's got commercial rule of law and contract that is stable. It's got English as a legal language, which is an advantage. From time zone points of view, you can reach the other places more easily. I mean, these are advantages that are well known if you live in Hong Kong. It has disadvantages. It's a rather pricey place, and there's real challenges in terms of space, especially if you're doing education, which is a space-intensive activity. So we just have to sort of do the offsets and work ourselves through it. I mean, starting this coming year, we will become an accredited tertiary education, a higher education institution. We'll be offering master's degree, undergraduate degrees, and further education qualifications in the British system. So upon that happening, it's much easier for us as essentially as a college to be able to come here and open our doors. That is the kind of thing we're looking at.
I support that feeling. I mean, it almost feels like this is the most Western place, I think, in Asia. My feeling, and it also has close relations with the UK as well. So one thing I think is being disrupted is education, and I think you're right in the center of that too with your School for Startups. I'm personally recently engaged, and I'm going to have a baby. I'm already thinking about education now, and it hasn't even happened. What do you think maybe for the next generation of education? I think colleges, I mean, I can see a lot of disruption happening.
Well, I think the education is going to be disrupted as much as the music industry. The simple fact is, much of what we do face-to-face can be done online. Some things can be done online better than can be done face-to-face. There's a huge complementarity. Now, the current generation of MOOCs, Massive Open Online forces sort of presages what's coming, but doesn't really accurately identify it, because I think that underestimates the value of the lives part of the process. But I do see enormous opportunities for scale. Thus, we're certainly looking at things we do a lot online. We are literally only not doing more online because we don't have the resources to do it yet, because there's a very considerable investment in online teaching, because you have to have it do automatically what you can forgive by doing live. So a live teacher can kind of wash over stuff that you can't wash over online. You have to therefore make explicit code and content to support it in a more meticulous basis. Thus, when you look at online versus live investment, it's actually easier to make live investment than it is online, because you have to do more to get to the same place. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the same level of synchronicity and ad hoc learning and community learning and active engagement online as you do in a live face-to-face. So I think that there is still a gap there. Having said that, I can reach a lot more people, I mean profoundly more people, with an online course. And so as soon as our accreditation comes through, we'll be offering online equivalents to our live degrees, knowing full well that people will get a slightly less immersive engagement. But over the next few years, I think that will change as well. Thus, I think the whole education sector is going to be in turmoil.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for that. But I do think, I kind of agree with you. I think even with this podcast, I used to do a lot more seminars and meetings, but now I'm trying more online media. You still lose that personal feeling of the audience and or the students. And I think, you know, for the next generation of, you know, students growing up, they're all on their phones and their iPads, and that's something that we have to work on, and personally a little bit concerned how that's going to settle out. You know, people need to have the EQ, not just the IQ. That's just an interesting topic, so thanks for your input. I think we're kind of wrapping up, and I'd just like to say maybe some listeners today, a lot of them are, you know, living in the West, America or Europe, and they're thinking about coming over to Hong Kong or to Asia to do their own startup. Is that something that you would personally recommend, or you think stay in your home country? Or I know maybe also it's the depends kind of answer, but I think just your insight on this topic.
I think people treat the notion of going to another place like Hong Kong, starting from America or Europe in particular, as being quite a huge jump. I think anyone who makes the jump then realizes actually it's more intimidating before you come than after you arrive. And I think that like all these things, you have to go to a place to know a place. And you have to live in a place, not just visit it to truly understand it. I also think that areas that are going through very fast economic growth lift all boats. You know, the tide rises. Thus, if I was sitting in a slow-growth country looking enviously at a fast-growth one, I would suggest that person get up off their duff and move to this fast-growth place, because then they're in an environment where growth is happening. And that, to be honest, just makes it easier to succeed. So, yeah, people should come to Hong Kong. Hong Kong is the gateway to China.
Yep.
Where else would you go?
Thank you again. And if you'd like our listeners to maybe follow up with you or interact with you, maybe your program, or send you a tweet, or how would you like to make contact?
So I'm reasonably visible. You can find my school at schoolforstartups.net, and you can find me on Twitter at Doug Richard, or you can find the school at S4S. You can engage with us that way, and just we're always awake, available for a global audience.
Okay. Is there any programs coming up?
All of our programs right now, of course, require you to be somewhere where we're teaching. So our biggest program, the School for Creative Startups, is the London-based program, and we actually welcome people from all over the world on it currently. Enrollment opens up again, where are we now? December, it opens up again in 60 days. So people will be starting to accept applications beginning of February for that, and that's the next big program.
Okay, thank you again for your time, and I'm looking forward to your speech tomorrow. That's it.
Is that all right?
So thank you, Doug, for that interview. I hope everyone got something out of it. I know I did. And just to give some updates about my own startup, Social Agent, those following along with my own business, we just finally got approved in the App Store, and the iPhone users there can download our app. Just search Social Agent and you can download it. It's a mobile CRM to help sales, marketing, BD professionals manage their personal or business contacts and also convert those to leads for companies for cash. So it's a new idea, and I'd love anybody's feedback on my app. It's been a long process of getting programmed and also approved in the App Store.
Some words from our loyal listeners.
So today's feedback from our listeners is Trevor in Guangzhou. He got connected to me by a friend, Paul Jones, and another American in China. And he says the following: I just listened to all of your podcasts. Keep it up. Only you know the stats for clicks and listen rates. You're building content and making a name for yourself. So thank you, Trevor. I appreciate the feedback and the listen rates. Yeah, I don't have a reason to hide them. We just broke 1,000 downloads. We're averaging about 100 downloads per show. I don't know if that's big numbers. I hope to continue to grow listeners and grow my quality of my content and quality of the video and audio. So I'm really appreciative for you listening, Trevor, and everyone else, and hope to improve and increase our quality in listeners. Thank you.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.